About 5 years ago, I was witnessing to people and I was getting very frustrated. And sometimes they were frustrated as well. I would tell people about Christ that didn't want to hear about Christ. I wouldn't listen to them. I would just barge in with a solution that they didn't want or weren't ready to receive. I was pretty ineffective. Thankfully, God saw my frustration and provided some help. A sister in my former church had a dream. In the dream, she saw me connecting with a friend of hers who was an evangelist. She told me the dream, and instantly I knew I had to connect with this person. She introduced us through email, and then we met in person. He ended up coming to our church to speak, and he introduced me to this book called God Space, and this book changed my life. How did it change my life, you may be asking? Well, let me tell you a story about a man that I know named Tucker. I've been meeting with Tucker for coffee about the last 2 years. About 3 years ago, I invited Tucker to my former church and he declined. But instead of being rejected, I asked him if he'd like to get together for coffee instead. He said, sure. So we meet once a month for coffee, Tucker and I. And one of the things in the God Space book that it talks about is to listen. And try to understand the other person. So listening is a very powerful and effective evangelistic tool. As I listen to him, I learn about his family, what he's going through, all the different trials and struggles that he has, and then I can pray for those things. And through praying for these things, I've seen God do some tremendous things in Tucker's life. By listening to Tucker, I've had the opportunity to pray for Tucker, pray for him at those coffee meetings. I pray for him on my own as well. Tucker and I also talk about God. We've had many conversations in our coffee meetings about God. On one occasion, I was having some difficulties at work, and Tucker asked me, how do I get through those things? I told him, I take breaks and I pray to God. I ask God to help me. He said, oh, really? That must be very comforting. I said, yes, it is. We continue to meet monthly, and I believe I'm getting close to inviting Tucker and his family to church. But one of the things that I've learned through this whole process is not to be in a hurry, not to step in front of God, walk with God as I do this. Hebrews 6:12b says, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises that God has for us. So we can't be in a hurry sometimes when we're introducing people to Jesus. In my next meeting with Tucker, God has told me to tell him that I love him. So that's my next meeting, and that's actually next Monday. But I encourage you to find someone in your community and connect with them, get together with them, go out for lunch, go out for dinner, and do it on a consistent basis. Get to know that person, become friends with them, and as you do that, it will draw them to Jesus. Pastor Wes?
My name is Wilma Jack. I've been a member of this church for the past 3 years. And we've had a series on agape love. And to say Pastor West did a fantastic job and the other pastors is just, you know, kind of the truth. Because it made me think and it made me remember the many times when I had agape love extended to me. I remember feeling so desolate in one church because I needed more and I didn't know what it was. And then I went to a different church. Sifa did not come with me, but I went because I felt it had to do with my spiritual needs. And the folks at that church were so welcoming, the women in that church, that they right away it put me into ministry, and believe it or not, it's the ministry I'm more comfortable in, and that has to do with missions. I became involved in the women's group there. I became part of the seniors group there, and there was so much love that I forgot much about crying. I used to cry a lot when I came from the other church. I'm always complaining, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? And then that love, they showed me agape love. And I came to this church 3 years ago, and I come with all that in me ready to share. I don't know what happened. I really don't. But last Sunday, I sat and listened to Pastor Wes, and he spoke. He spoke about evangelism. And I always take notes. I'm a note taker, so I'm going to try and find some of what he said there that got me all ready to go again. And he talked about how we get there. We can care and pray and learn and give and serve. And then he talked about what things we can do, like invite people to church and invest into them. And that is agape love. And then I went home, and there is one of my neighbors, and she said to me, you know, my mom died. And I didn't know. I didn't know because I forgot to do agape love in my block. I forgot to visit. I forgot to invite them for coffee. And so she said, can you sometimes go in and look at dad and visit him in the afternoon and take him, just to talk to him, not even take him anything, just to talk to him. That's what agape love is about. It does not have to be anything big or major. Just be, just help, just lavish love. And that's what I miss the most. I have not been doing that. And we all need to remember that love is the greatest gift we can lavish on anybody else.
That's great. I love that. I love hearing from people, amen? Isn't that great? We're just going to stay seated for this one. I know it's a little different, but we're doing a little different service here. And we're going to sing, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And I love that hymn. It's just so low-key, and we're just going to sing it. And just if you in your seat, just think about how good God has been to us and all the things that he has done for us.
"Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the same God, Lord Jesus, Jesus, how I trust.
I had to get rebaptized. My old life was gone, and it was never coming back. That was the part one. Part two, it's called My New Name. I now have a new name. It is Chaplain Chris. I feel proud, but not as yet worthy for that title. It is all too new to me. At the moment, I am gaining chaplaincy experience. I am helping out with dementia and Alzheimer's clients. This was my first choice as an assignment. I have a calling for old people. I did not know that my life would take this path, and like so many people before me, I have to say, be careful what you ask the Lord for. After my husband died and the Lord comforted me, I decided that I wanted to get to know the Lord on a deeper level. I needed more than to read words about Jesus. I wanted to experience him physically. At that time, he gave me these words, "Spirit, to spirit. I did not know what that meant, the significance of the words for me. Then the Lord told me I was going back to school. I was going to get my master's degree. I was happy because I love and already knew a lot of theology. But is the Lord ever that easy? No. My area of concentration at Acts Seminary is chaplaincy. How did that come about? I don't know. It just happened. I started taking courses, and they all happened to be along the same line. Spiritual care of the elderly and dying patients. Those who could not speak for themselves. Christian chaplaincy is based on the parable from Jesus about the Good Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan / spirit to spirit, this was my first, I think I'm getting it now, moment. The Lord said he wants me to connect to people spirit to spirit. I'm not to look at people secularly, from the outside appearance. I am to look at people from the inside out, seeing them from their inner spirit and them seeing me from my inner spirit. Easy to say, but not so easy to do. Why? Because I have issues. There has been me up here and them down there. The Lord said, no. There is not you and them. There is only we and us. I was no longer special in my own eyes. My personal calling statement is connecting to people spirit to spirit. In this way, I can connect to the Lord and thus gain a deeper understanding of him. We are all made in his image. Genesis 1:27 reads, so God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, and he created them. We are all brothers and sisters in the spirit. My eyes, heart, and spirit have been opened to this aspect of humanity. And this is what I am responding to. There is no me and them. It is all us. Luke 10:25-37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. I am picking up the parable at verse 29. He, the young lawyer, asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you for whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This is my spirit to spirit. The parable of the Good Samaritan is the only definition I can come up with to describe what the Lord has imparted to me as my mission. Connect to people spirit to spirit. We are all one, sisters, brothers, and neighbors. When I see another person and can only see the disgusting low life of a person and can walk away with revulsion, I am not fit to be a chaplain if I cannot see the spirit of the Lord oozing out from that person. I do not understand the compassion of Jesus, and my life has not improved. The Lord has already tested me on this. I cannot talk about what happened because it was a very upsetting experience for me. And all I have to say is that you don't experience everything in the first 70 years of life. I wanted to experience the other side of Jesus, not the theology side that most people seek, but the Good Samaritan side, which my heart and soul craves. The Lord has chosen me to do this mission and has provided all the opportunities needed to accomplish this at my age. This is how I describe my connecting to people spirit to spirit. The multicolored scarf. Just 1 second. Okay. The pattern is the base. That's God. One needle is Jesus. One needle is the Holy Spirit. Each different colored section is an aspect of chaplaincy. The white border around the scarf is the binding. The individual stitches represent each one of us. Each one of our hairs are numbered. Luke 12:7. He has knit us together in our mother's womb. Psalm 139:13. Without Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I will not be able to envision or accomplish the task set out before me. Remember, the Lord does things in his own time. I am now 70 years old, and I now have a new name, and it is Chaplain Chris. Thank you.
And this standing up here has actually been my dream since I was a kid. Now that I'm up here, I'm kind of regretting my decision, but whatever, we're here and we're thriving. So I go to Summit Pacific Bible College, and last year I got the opportunity to go to Vietnam, which was amazing. But before we went there, they kind of gave us a rundown that we weren't allowed to talk about faith. We were going there to share the gospel, but we had to do it through our actions and not through word of mouth, which was really hard. And some of the things, to give you guys a little bit of a background, some of the things that they told us we couldn't do is we couldn't say God, we couldn't say pastor, we couldn't say church, and we could not say the Bible because we could get arrested or, you know, someone would get mad at us or whatever. But we went there with ready, open hands to serve and ready to talk about what God was doing in our lives. But one of the things that really stood out for me is as we were going through, we went into these like universities and we talked to these university students about English club. And it was like, at first I was like, this is kind of lame. I don't know why we're doing this. But I went anyways because my interns made me. But so we're talking about English to a bunch of these university students. And I remember one of my interns, her name's Anna, she came to me and she said, we're going to go on a prayer walk. And I was like, what? A prayer walk? Like, what is that going to do? And she's like, no, we're going to go around the university and we're going to just pray. We're not actually going to go on the university to like talk to the students today. We're going to actually just pray. And I was like, that's kind of weird, but sure. So we're walking around and, you know, like sometimes you pray in your head or sometimes you just like have a conversation out loud, but we were just praying. And like my heart was really hardened to it because I didn't know what the point was. But as we were walking and praying, the next day we sent about four of the people from our team into the campus, and we had more university students go up to them than before because we were never really approached because we were white, but we were approached by a bunch of students. And our English club went from 5 kids to almost 20 kids that night. So we learned in those moments the importance of prayer. And it also went into our hotel. So our hotel was like this really ghetto hotel that, like, you know, it had rats. We named them. It was great. But you would be eating and you would just like kind of see something at the table in the corner and just kind of shake. You're like, oh, that's a rat, but that's totally fine. So anyways, we had a bunch of our students kind of have like really bad dreams and feel like there's something in the room. And so, not the rat, just to clarify, but so they felt like there's a presence in the room, And one of my friends, she had the gift of visions. She actually had a vision of the hotel, and what was going on in the hotel was not good. We were experiencing like a ton of spiritual warfare. So one night, again, Anna came out to us, and she's like, guys, we're going to pray around the hotel. We're just going to walk on every floor, and we're just going to pray, and we're just going to claim God's victory over this hotel. So we prayed, and we're walking, and like it's pretty scary. Like there's the hallways here, and some of the lights don't really work, so it's like, hey, Trisha. Wow, that's, sorry. I'm so sorry. Anyways, there's like some of the lights don't work. So you'd be walking, and like sometimes when I would walk up to my room, I kind of like jog because I was scared someone was going to open my door and just, you know, whatever. Anyways, so you were walking, and I had one of my friends with me, and we were just praying and praying, and I just felt it. I felt that heaviness on me, and I was just like, God, like, your presence coming here. Like, I rebuke this in Jesus' name, and we were just praying, and we were just praying, and people were like crying while they're praying, and in the cafeteria was where it was like the worst of it all. And me and my friend were down there praying. And in that moment, I got a vision that was spoken over to me previously during the year, but a vision of me yelling at a demon who was telling me that I wasn't worth it. And Jesus was, Jesus was standing behind me, and he was like cheering me on, and a bunch of angels behind me. And as I was praying in this moment, I like was directed towards this desk, and I was just praying against whatever was happening in the hotel. And I just got that vision, and God was like, Trina, you're living that out right now. And I was standing there, and I was just crying, because before I even got on the plane to Thailand to go to Vietnam, before I'd even gotten into Omega, God had claimed victory over that hotel, and God had claimed victory over Vietnam. And it was reminded to me in that moment that it is so important, the power of prayer. And so that's my little spiel, Dad.
I honestly don't know where she gets that wandering and all that stuff. Let's watch this next video.
That directly across the street from us was this man who was a hoarder. His house was a real mess, and I thought, well, I don't really have to bother with him. I'll live in my house, he can live in his house, and it'll be fine. But not only was he a hoarder, he hoarded cats. And the cats, about 8 of them, used to come into my yard every day and use my garden beds as their bathroom. So that would get me very, very upset. And so then I started to resent this man who was the hoarder, who had all these cats. And I started praying to God, please deliver me from this hoarder. Let him move out of my neighborhood. And although he's been there 40 years and I've only been there now 15 years. And so the Holy Spirit was starting to work, but I was like a disobedient child with my fingers in the ears going, la, 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 I can't hear you, Lord. But wanting to be obedient, but I wasn't. I was being very disobedient. God was calling me to love this man, and I couldn't because I was too busy judging him. Time went on, and about a year ago, the Holy Spirit was really dealing with me to actually be civil towards this man, to be friendly and kind. And so I started waving and smiling and had the brief conversation. Last summer, I had some plants taken off my property, and I told him about it, and he was very concerned and very nice. And as I say, the Holy Spirit was, you know, getting me to reach out to this man. But I would only go so far until we started doing this Agape series. And I went, okay, Lord, I have been studying your word. I go to church, and I want to be like Christ, but yet I'm still disobedient. And so he was really convicting me of this sin. The Holy Spirit was saying to me, I want you to do something. I want you to do a physical thing to show him kindness. So I thought, okay, I can give him some sort of food. And I thought, I know, I can give him some cookies. So I waited for 4 days to try and give him the cookies. And it was really, really bad weather. And so I didn't see him. And a few days ago, literally like two days ago, Brian was out digging up my dahlias for me. And I looked out and I saw him through the trees. And so I frantically ran into the kitchen, grabbed the cookies, grabbed my dog, and went running full pelt out into the street before he went inside his home. And I thought, what is this man going to think? I've barely acknowledged him for the last 15 years. Then all of a sudden, I'm running down my driveway at breakneck speed to give him these cookies. And so he saw me coming, and And I said to him, hi, how are you doing? It probably sounded really lame. I said, oh, I've got all these cookies left over and my family's not eating them. Would you like some cookies? They're homemade. In a split second, the look on his face went from incredulous to surprised to joyful to astounded, and he went, well, yes, I would love to have those cookies. I'm sure I could enjoy eating them. So the conversation got really bizarre after that. He acknowledged that my plants that were stolen, and he wanted now to set up a security system like Fort Knox and have floodlights come on and catch the perpetrators. And I'm going, yeah, that's a great idea. And he was going, I can lay the cable for you. And I'm like, wonderful. I ended the conversation after that and I went into my kitchen and I just stood there and I said to God or no one, I said, what just happened? What just happened? I just brought this man cookies and now I've got a new BFF. And I just want to read this to you. It says, obedience to God requires risk and produces spiritual fruitfulness. So it took me 15 years to be walking around the wilderness in my sin, like an Israelite, and finally the Holy Spirit penetrated my heart and I was able to be obedient. I'm expecting so much fruitfulness out of this. I don't know what God's got planned. Maybe he'll start coming to our Bible study. I don't know. But brothers and sisters, I encourage you to be obedient and step out in faith and take a risk and watch what God is going to do.
Can I encourage you? Think about what God has done and write it down. Have it. You should be able to share. I encourage everybody to have their testimony in 3 minutes or less. You should be able to share your testimony in a minute or less. The simple stuff. You're standing in an elevator, press the stop button. Hey, guess what? I got a minute. Let's talk. Okay, maybe don't do that. They'll be weirded out. But you should be able to share something about what God has done in your life in a very short period of time. They overcame him by the word of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. On Tuesday evening, I had I really messed up with our youth. Sorry about that, guys. I'm not, but anyway. I brought them out to a funeral home. Isn't that great? You want to be part of our youth group. And we went out there and we talked about Remembrance Day, and then we went inside and we did we wrote out cards. And the cards were to the persecuted church. And I got in contact with an organization and Mel, we have to talk as well to do this in the future. But we sent them out to an organization that's going to distribute them into the persecuted world. Last week we had someone here talking about the persecuted church. If you remember that, and thank you, Mel, for always keeping us up to date with that. Let me just kind of fill you in on a few things that's going on in the persecuted world. There's 245 million Christians living in persecution today, folks. There is 1 in 9 Christians that experience persecution. 4,305 Christians are killed last year for their faith. That's about 12 people a day. 1,847 churches were attacked last year. There are 3,150 believers detained without trial that are arrested or sentenced or imprisoned that we know of. They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink back from death. Now, maybe you're not going to be held by gunpoint and all that, but maybe, just maybe, we have to put to death some stuff in our lives, like pride. Maybe we have to put some stuff to death in our life that will hinder us from sharing the love of Christ. Maybe at some point in time we need to say, you know what, it doesn't really matter what people think of me. Maybe our reputation is not that important. Maybe I'll lose some friendships. But if I can stand for righteousness, if I can stand for truth, if I can stand for God, maybe, just maybe, it'll make a difference in somebody else's life. We're gonna close in a song here in just a minute. But I want to end by this. I want to thank, first of all those that shared their story. Thank you. They did great. Didn't they do great? Can Can I encourage you, can I give you an assignment? Here's your homework for this week. Write down your story. Write it down. Have it, I mean, you know, you probably don't have to write it down, but abbreviate it. Write it down and ask God for an opportunity to share it. I guarantee you it will come. You don't have to preach to people. You don't have to, please, you don't condemn people. But you're here to share the story, your story with them, and what God has done in your life. And as Sonia and the team comes up in closing, can we bow our heads in closing? Because here's the thing. I think there may be somebody here today that has gone through some challenges, that are going through challenges right now, and you just need God. You need God in your situation. You need God in the circumstances you're facing. I'm going to start with the first question. If you're here this morning and you're listening to some of this stuff and you've heard some of these stories and you're sitting here and you're going, you know what? I don't even have that relationship with Jesus. I'd like to know what that's all about. I really want to have experienced this closeness, this friendship with the King of the universe. Hey, see, today's your day. God can make a difference in your life today. He loves you so incredibly much. We can't even fathom how much he loves us. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want that. Can I ask you just to put your hand up? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to do anything strange. I just want to pray and ask God to meet you where you're at. Anybody here, I don't have that relationship with Jesus. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I have a relationship, but man, I'm going through challenges. You know that what you're talking about, the conflicts and all that, I've faced them and I'm in the middle of it right now. And I just need God's help. I really need God's help today. Can I pray for you? If that's you, put up your hand. I just want to pray. Thanks. Thank you. Lots of hands. Can I just pray? Can I ask a favor? Can you look around? Put your hands back up. Can you look around? There's hands going up. Can you just get around these people? Let's be a family. How about we stand up? You see the hands that have gone up. How about we stand up? Let's be a family here before we go and get out and do our thing this afternoon. Let's just pray for these people. There's a couple of folks back there, if we can get people around them. Some people here. If you haven't put your hand out, you just want prayer. There's lots of people here that want to pray for you. Lots of people that just want to love on you here this morning. Father, you see these hands here this morning. You see the challenges that they're facing. God, at times it may seem overwhelming. And at times they may not know which way to look, which way to turn. But God, I know that they can look to you and find hope, find strength, find guidance, find assurance, find peace in you. Lord, you tell us in your word that peace you leave us, your peace you give unto us. You do not give as the world gives, that we are not to let our hearts be troubled and not to be afraid. Whatever it is in their situations, Father God, would you just flood them with your presence, flood them with your love, flood them with your goodness, and let them experience that hope, that joy, that fullness, oh God, that they so desperately need. And Lord, as a family, that we would stand behind each other, encouraging each other, building each other up. And God, that you would use our story to make a difference in the community around us. So God, I pray blessing on your people today. I pray blessing on these that put up their hands, but all of us, Father, that we would experience your blessing and that we would share it. We would share it openly. You're a good God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Let's sing this song together.